Welcome to the ULM Forum on KEDM Public Radio. I'm Jay Curtis. Marriage and family therapy is a fairly young field of study, developing only in the last 40 years. The University of Louisiana at Monroe is home to an extensive collection of research from Don D. Jackson, one of the field's founding fathers. Dr. Wendell Ray is a professor in educational leadership and counseling and the curator of the Don D. Jackson Archives. First of all, who was Don Jackson and why is he important to the study of marriage and family therapy?
Don Jackson was a psychiatrist that practiced principally in the San Francisco Bay Area in California, founded an institute called the Mental Research Institute in 1958. It was the first family therapy institute established in the world. And he was a psychotherapist, who wrote a lot about ideas that became the ground out of which systemic thinking and systemic marriage and family therapy was born.
Can you tell us a little bit about what changed from some of the research that he did initially to what the perception in the mental health field was before that, of that kind of therapy?
Oh, sure. And it's still an unfinished conversation, let us say. Most psychotherapy, most thinking about behavioral problems is based on what's going on inside of an individual, their blood chemical, their DNA or genetic predisposition. With what goes on between people seen as secondary, as a product of what's going on inside, Jackson turned that inside out. Not only Don Jackson, he was part of Gregory Bateson's research project in Palo Alto for about the 6 years leading up to the founding of the Institute. And all of those researchers came into the Mental Research Institute. But the difference is they looked at what was going on between people in the present moment without making assumptions that what was going on was a product of what was happening inside. Not that there isn't things going on inside, but they thought it was more valuable to look at what they could see happening right before themselves in the interaction between two or more people, and discovered that was enough. Looking at what was going on between people in the present moment provided adequate reasons, let us say, for why things were going the way they were. And so they developed a whole theory, a system theory, an interactionally focused way of thinking about behavior that changed the world.
What kind of resistance? He must have encountered some resistance to those theories when he first presented them.
Sure. But he was very I'd never met him, so let's get clear there. He died in 1968. I didn't come on the scene until 1980 or so. But from what I understand, he was exceptionally articulate as a presenter and wrote prolifically, 7 books and 130 or 40 papers in all the high-level psychiatric journals, a founding member of every imaginable thing, and got so many awards, I don't even know how many. And because of that, and because of where he wrote, he touched the leading people in the field of human behavior, he and his team. It wasn't just him. One of the things about interactional thinking is the idea of the individual in isolation is recedes. Whatever reality or experience people have of living with one another emerges out of what goes on between people. And so I really am hesitant to elevate Jackson as though he's he is great. I mean, I don't know how you take out of the picture what he contributed, but he would say that the ideas emerged out of the interaction between he and a few other people. Of important people like Milton Erickson and Gregory Bateson and Jay Haley and John Weakland and some women, Virginia Satir and what became the early pioneers of what became the field that we have a program here.
How did the Don D. Jackson Archives end up coming to ULM as a partnership, really, to be housed here?
Well, I was already a research associate at the Mental Research Institute in Palo Alto, California. I had gone out there to study Jackson's work during my doctoral studies. And then when I was working at Nova University teaching at the doctoral program there, I was hired to come here to teach in this program, and when I came here in 1990, so came this archive. And since 1990, it's been a very collaborative research project between the College of Education, Marriage and Family Therapy Program, and the Mental Research Institute.
How are researchers using these archives to further the field?
My goodness. It's nothing takes the place from being able to go in and listen to interviews by the people who founded this thinking, to go in and read original articles, drafts, research materials, audio recordings, video recordings. Nothing takes the place of that. And people just get completely absorbed in the importance of these ideas, how significant, how more significant in some ways, given how connected the world is now, those ideas are here. And so students here, students from all over the world who know about the archive, contact us, and they either come here or they invite me to go there to talk. And out of that has come any number of research studies of over 20 dissertations from Harvard and here, and Syracuse University, Nova University, Virginia Tech. Once people knew where the source material is, they go there to study it.
And what would you say that some of the research that comes out of having these archives available, how would you say that's affecting the practice of marriage and family therapy for someone who goes to see a therapist?
Well, it's important to that a therapist actually doesn't just think that it doesn't matter, to shift your focus of attention from what you think might be going on inside of people that are making people behave the way they are. Because if you're looking at that, it's very difficult to keep your eye on the ball, to keep your eye or your head in the game when you're talking to a husband and a wife or a couple of parents and a child or a CEO and his management team. Because based on the interactional view that is embodied in this archive, you can see the nature of the interaction being such that what comes out of it is either the problem on the one hand or the solutions that people find on the other, never having to go beyond being an expert at being able to pick up what's going on and then knowing what to do and say when you see it, which is the art of systemic marriage and family therapy, and that's what we do here. And it makes a big difference.
Dr. Wendell Ray is a professor of educational leadership and counseling here at the University of Louisiana at Monroe. He's the curator of the Don D. Jackson Archives, which was recently featured in the Milton Erickson Foundation newsletter, reaching around 20,000 subscribers internationally and gained some recent note in the last 6 months or so. Dr. Ray, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.